Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. Hey, Caitlin.
Yes, Craig?
How many fairs have you been to?
You know, actually a fair amount of fairs.
That was so bad.
Not as much. I guess like growing up, we had like a local town thing, like what was in the episode. And we would go to that every year. But I've also been to a few state fairs. My own home states, oddly enough, but I've been to the North Carolina State Fair, which is Raleigh, Matt's hometown, and I was very much hoping that he was talking about going to that one, because it is the most southern thing I've ever been to. Like, I basically drove across the state to go to it just to, like, experience, but it's a lot of North Carolina barbecue, although there's the state split on barbecue between Eastern and Western, like Lexington style and Eastern style. They both have vinegar in them, but it's like amounts and, you know, it's a whole thing. And Raleigh is more the Eastern style. I prefer Western, honestly. Uh-huh. But the sides are a little bit different too. But yeah, a lot of barbecue stuff. There was a tractor pull I witnessed. First time in my life I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
And like, there was like a pig show. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. But yeah, it was very state fair and very Southern.
Well, the funny thing is that here in L.A., there's the L.A. County Fair, and then there's the Orange County Fair, and both are exactly the same, like pigs, cows, tractor pulls, pig racing, gross food.
Tractor pulls, the food and the the drinks are great at the I love the food, like not the not their take.
Deep
on, like,
fried.
Yeah, there's that.
But jalapeno there's peppers.
There's also like all these weird competitions. And then you'll get their food. Like there's this place mat setting competition. Like how to set a table with a theme. Really weird. Have you seen those? It actually was spotlighted on one of those Sunday morning shows. There's these weird like exhibits, I guess. Like, one time they brought the whole Star Trek exhibits, and I was like, hell yes, I'm at that. Stuff like that.
This is at the L.A. County Fair?
At the L.A. County Fair, yeah. They had all the, like, monster movie exhibits. Like, I will get on the Metrolink to go to this fair. It is far out there, and I will go, because it's so worth it every year.
I used to live in Upland, it's not far for me.
Yeah, I think it's great. I've never been to a real fair, but I've been to my fair, and I think they are fun, and the concerts are cheap, and they're always a good band, actual good band.
I think my point was is that even though we're in LA and we have the LA County Fair, it's actually exactly the same as other county fair. Yeah, it's animals.
I can tell you, I can't compare, but I think that ours are more. They are. Do you remember the commercials, Craig? Do you know the commercials? They're so rude. They're like us making fun of ourselves. Like it's some blonde, you know, it's supposed to be a Beverly Hills type going, have you been to the fair? Oh, can you do like all these, you know, LA things at it? And people are like, yeah. Can you do all these like country things at it? Yeah. But I don't think ours compares to a real fair.
Well,
I've
been
seen a tractor pull there.
Iowa State Fair.
Oh.
But cue the music.
No, that is not a cool story.
It is a
cool
story.
You don't know where he's going with it yet. There might have been like he was there on dates. And
that's why I'm waiting.
I actually I took a date to the county fair. Sorry, the LA State. Sorry, the Iowa State Fair. It was me and another guy and we took dates.
How does it compare?
I'll tell you what, if you're a meat eater, which I'm not a huge meat eater, but if you are a meat eater, they slaughter the cow right there, and then they serve the steaks. So it's like, it was the freshest, nicest steak you'll ever have in your life.
That's probably like against the health code here.
Yeah, probably.
It doesn't.
There's a lot more transactions. Like in the Midwest, the state fair is actually... like there's lots of commerce that happens at them in terms of like trading cows and pigs and stuff.
What a fair is for.
What a fair is for, right? There's a lot of that.
Yeah, too. At least I think traditionally that's probably what they started at as, right? Yeah. Like, I have wanted to go to the Minnesota State Fair for a few years now because I hear that the food options are wild there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just the steak that I had was worth going to the Iowa State Fair. Now, you want to know what band was playing that night?
Yes.
You can guess because I think you have a chance you can guess.
Not a Surf.
No, it wasn't like the Beach Boys.
Okay.
No. Oh my God. Yeah, that would be amazing.
Always play at ours.
It was America's favorite band.
Kansas. Somebody the who's band. Been on Close. The Bachelor? Close.
America Close. The Band.
No. It was Journey.
Oh, wow.
Yeesh. Oh,
isn't that crazy? Now, Journey. I didn't have tickets. My buddy somehow had tickets. So we just stomped around the fair at night while he and his date went to the concert. But we could hear the concert just fine. So we were privy to a night of Journey while walking around the fair at night, which was pretty cool.
Well, anyways, why are we talking about? Oh, because he had them set this up and it was boring because you're not really competing. He just took the stuffed animal. That's not the game, dude.
Well, he spent 365 days out of the year thinking about going to the fair back home. That's what he said.
He did come out very strongly in support of going to the fair. Yeah.
The problem with the fair here is it's super hot. Well, I guess it gets hot in other parts of the country, too. When was the North Carolina State Fair? Was it really hot out?
I can't remember the exact date. My recollection is that it was the summer, so it probably was pretty hot because the advantage of living in North Carolina is winters are very, very, very mild, like to the point where people would be like, it's below 45. It's right. So cold, you know, but winter... summer was a little swampy, actually not as bad as DC area. Ooh, right. So swampy, so humid, worse than North Carolina to me, but the temperature is usually pretty high in my mind, like memory. I think it was August, but I might be totally wrong on that.
Wait, so real quick, what are the other state fairs that you've been to?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I've been to the Texas one.
Whoa.
Once.
Easy, did you hear that? The Texas State Fair.
I feel like the Iowa one, like to me, in my mind, is like the one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I Texas, think Iowa is probably more into Texas. Is, you know, it's Texas. Everything's bigger, et cetera, et cetera. I don't honestly remember that much about the Texas State Fair, so I must not have enjoyed it very much. Yeah, I don't know. Trying to remember what else. I'd been wanting to go to the Massachusetts one, but I never made it.
It'd be cool to go to like some obscure one, like the North Dakota State Fair. I bet they go hard at the North Dakota State Fair. I bet it's just one giant beer tent and everyone's just drinking. There's no other activities.
Oh, you know what I did also go to? Not a state fair, but in North Carolina every year. Lexington, North Carolina, the barbecue capital of the world, as they say. Barbecue capital of North Carolina style barbecue, specifically Lexington style. It's all very specific. I learned so much about barbecue during my years living there. They would have an annual barbecue fair, and I would go to that, and it was amazing.
Sounds good. Okay, well, we're here to talk about The Bachelor. Where do we start?
Well, I can give a quick overview of what actually occurs on this episode. If we want to just very briefly, there is the ending of the MJ and Jesenia 2-on-1. So that's where we begin. Then there's a rose ceremony and people get eliminated. Then there is a group date, a 1-on-1. And Heather Martin arrives. Tyler Cameron is there briefly.
Got it. Great. That was a good recap. Nice and concise. So what I don't understand is that Brittany gets cut at the rose ceremony, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So
and Ryan, but someone else.
Brittany was like the center of attention for the previous
kind
two
of
episodes.
She's the reason for the drama, but I don't want to say she's the center of attention.
Well, she had a big story arc, and then she gets cut, and they didn't even do an exit interview. They didn't even put a Chiron on her.
Yeah, well, they didn't. We didn't even meet her. You know.
Well, they should've...
I wanted to meet Maggie too. Maggie, is that how you pronounce it? I thought it was pronounced a little differently.
I can't remember. I feel like Maggie sounds right to me, but I'm not positive. Yeah, it was. I felt annoyed at the producers over this one because it very much seemed like a case of Brittany's brought in this group of invading women. And her whole storyline is that somebody calls her an escort, potentially ruining her like career prospects and such. And then she just leaves. And I think so. It's like, oh, so you just like smeared her reputation worldwide for no reason, because like she's not even a front runner. He doesn't even like her. She just leaves without anything else.
Very weird. Very weird. I mean, it's just weird from a story perspective that you wouldn't conclude that story. I don't know what. Did the camera not work? Did it malfunction? I don't know.
Yeah, it's like they're just not good. I guess this goes back to our point that it's insulting to give leads this much intervention and then not completing, like, giving us closure on the problems they start. So if we're going to give the producers the benefit of the doubt, which, Craig, somewhere you want to do.
Right.
You could say that she was only a catalyst to get the mean girls out. Once the mean girls were out, then there is no more story. So they can you can say goodbye to her.
Right. Yeah, except the problem with this to me is that there are definitely still some mean girls there, one. And two, they're doing the exact same thing with bringing Heather in. It's literally a repeat of the first five women coming in. And you can see from the like coming up previews that it's going to result in the exact same thing with women again, like being incredibly rude and mean to her. So, well, like, what are we doing here?
But are they mean to her for the same? I mean, they're mean to Heather because it's true. How many times can they keep doing this? Can they keep putting people in and and like after hometowns, like, when can you they should have stopped after. They can't keep doing that, and it's so badly acted.
I kind of hope now that they've begun this cycle of just implanting new women that this just happens like every week from now on. It's like, bring back some of Matt's ex-girlfriends or something just right before hometowns.
Yeah, it is so, like, you know, if the Bachelor franchise is like church to these people because they're Christian and because they come back to it and that's where their dating pool is, why didn't they meet earlier? You know, there's so many, Hannah Brown, I guess, live Instagram / tweeted, I think it's Instagram, about how like, my girl's on there. It's like she quarantined with Matt James. They could have introduced each other way before. This is fake on top of fake again, because, well, not to mention this part that I thought was so telling. Now, let me ask you guys, when has this ever happened in the history of anyone's life?
I'm sorry, you're not allowed in here. We are closed to the public.
Okay, is there any way I can get in there?
Let me call somebody, okay?
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
It's close to the public. Oh, is there any way I could do it?
Let me call somebody.
Better. You know what? Yeah. No, that's never, that could never, that is so dumb and badly done. And they couldn't even say something. Like, anyone with, like, what? You know, anyone with any kind of story background, you take your any producer and say, you know what we need there is her saying something like, look, I'm a next contestant, I'm a good friend of Chris's, is there, I, you know, I'll put a mask on. There's no talk of
it. She didn't have a mask on.
It doesn't take days to find out if you have COVID. It takes 10 to 14 days. So they act like quarantine for 2 days, then you'll be fine. And then Chris comes out and it's Chris Harrison comes out and it's so bad, right? It was cringeworthy to even cut out. It was him saying like, oh, "Oh, who the heck are you? I can't believe you're here. This is amazing." You know, it's really the producers throwing like everything at the wall and seeing if we forget about all the bad things. Or it's like, I guess, like the Leslie Nielsen, was it Leslie Nielsen? But I feel like there's filmmakers who made all those Leslie Nielsen movies. Do you know who
Leslie Nielsen? About?
Oh, it was him. You don't know him, right? The bad
yeah, Naked Gun.
Yeah, Naked Gun, Dead and Loving It. A filmmaker friend of mine said that the like joke there is that you cram so many jokes that even the bad ones pass, right, and like do well, because by the time you think about the bad one, a new one's come up.
Right.
And so that's how this is feeling. Like, we're supposed to forget that lots of things are wrong and not just inconsequential, but incongruent, so that we can just be like, okay, I guess if it works out and Matt James is happy in the end, or if the conclusion of the episode is that we have drama, who cares how we got there? Mm. But it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think,
yeah,
the, well, yeah. Anyways, you guys, it's
yeah,
frustrating.
Assume that what was happening with her is that she did actually quarantine for the whole time period, but somewhere else, possibly, like she was in a different part of the resort or whatever, that they've been planning this the whole time, because it otherwise makes zero sense. You know, it sounds to me like a producer was like, let's bring in somebody else, like somebody known to the audience, a former contestant who has a connection or whatever, because they know the same people, and we'll just, like, you know, throw her in there and see what happens. But that the idea as being sold to us is that Hannah Brown, after knowing Matt James for what, like over a year and change or whatever, and having spent all this time with him over the summer in particular, just decides like that moment to tell her good friend Heather that that Matt is the perfect man for her. And then Heather, I guess, rents a white minivan and drives cross country. Like, that doesn't, what? That doesn't make any sense. If Hannah legitimately was like, oh, I want to set you up with this guy, I feel like you would be perfect together. Yeah, like you were saying, Izzy, it would have been very easy for her to do. She has both their contact numbers, like just put them together. That doesn't, it feels to me like Heather might have been interested in meeting Matt, and then producers cooked up everything else around it.
Yeah. Well, the worst part for me is that we just went through bullying, and now we're going to be right back to bullying again.
Yes. Yeah, that it's just going to be bullying, like, part 14 on the season of The Bachelor.
I mean, I think it was Kit in the preview. It was like, that bitch has got to go.
Yeah, Kit definitely calls her a bitch in the preview, and at the very end of this episode, I was literally laughing out loud. So Piper is the one interrupted when Heather comes in. And that whole interruption is also super weird, because Matt just laughs continuously for like a minute straight, which is like uncomfortable and weird. But obviously, with his reaction, you could tell like he knew her. In this case, it seems like he literally never met her. But, you know, he knew she was. It wasn't a surprise necessarily. But when Piper leaves the room and goes back out to the room, she's like literally running. And she screams, like, what the fuck, really loudly at the other way.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm shaking.
Well, I mean, they're mad that this is happening to them. And they're mad unlike past season of women. And I think this is just from this episode. But as we've said in the past, they've been mad. Every time something happens, they're like, oh no. So here's just from this episode how much they hate being in this uncomfortable situation on The Bachelor.
I used to really like surprises. And then I came here.
How's it going?
So sick of losing stupid games.
That's just from this episode. One episode of them just all being frustrated continuously.
Now, before we get too critical, doesn't this happen?
It doesn't.
You know, at this, no?
Well, it's there's
episode six of past seasons, so exactly. They get frustrated.
So there's one thing you said that I think is true, very even more true now, that there are just way too many women. Normally, there are this many women, but they're not. Well, first off, we're all over the place. We're on week six technically, but what rose ceremony are we on? I have no idea. We might be on fourth. These aren't week six vibes, everybody. This is like, messy, can't get it together. Where is your thesis? What is wrong with this season and last season? Which last season, okay, there are extenuating circumstances, two of them, right? First, global pandemic. Secondly, someone who left. Okay, give it to them. This time, there are no excuses. In fact, there should be way more order, but there's not. Mm-hmm. So, this is not normal. No, this is not week five. Here's normal. Week five, last week, there's a lot of kissy, in love, sex vibes, like sexual tension. Week six, let's see if we can take the sexual tension, back home or to the fantasy suites. We're talking about it. And I have clearly defined, and you and I and everyone in Bachelor Nation has clearly defined who's who in terms of personality. Now, in terms of personality, I can't really tell you who's who. We only know that because we're looking up their Instagrams and stuff, right? Like, other than Jesenia doing that, I don't really know anything about her. And that's not normal. Even though we do know superficial things normally, this is not normal to, like, not know who her parents are, not know what she does for a living, her not having talked. Like, everyone is frustrated they're not getting any time. That's week two.
Yeah, not week six.
So at this point, at the end of this episode, there are 11 women left. But two of them are people who are not here at the beginning. So that kind of shook everything up too, because Michelle and Heather are the two who are still remaining at the end, who are not part of that initial batch of women. But I feel like the producer's idea of being like, this is how we're going to make drama happen, we're going to keep on stirring it up, it's like, yeah, drama is happening. They're successful in that sense, but they're not successful in that I can't recall anybody commenting online who is a fan of The Bachelor who says that they actually are enjoying this season, right? That they like this. They feel like it's good. Like, everyone's just like, oh, not this again, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so it feels like they are very locked into this idea that the only thing that makes this show successful is it must be continuous, like, shouting and yelling, and everyone must be mad all the time, and that's the drama that makes this good. And it's like, well, that's a component of it, but they've made it 100% this season.
Yeah. And, Heather, like, I can't go so far. I guess I didn't watch the previews, but I don't know if they're going to exactly bully her yet, because the way they cut it could be anything, and the stress, because, like, for example, I don't think Serena particularly wanted to pick on Katie. I just think this is going to sound conspiratorial or like out of left field, but I think the producer set that whole fight up just to make Kit look good.
Yeah, I get the sense that Kit's being like pushed towards like being famous somehow.
Yeah, that was like, there was no point to that. I think Serena's too smart to think. Like, the way she was expressing herself was very clear and eloquent, and she was too smart to think that it's really Katie's fault. Katie's kind of too, like, on the nose to really, like, take the bait. And I feel like it was very set up just so that Kit can have the one line of her saying, look, this is ridiculous. Let's just, like, talk. I'm here for Matt, right? Like, that was it. 10 minutes of film for like this total, like droning on voice of saying something completely insincere. That was the point. I can't see it any differently than that, because there was no point to that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very bizarre to me, because even like the seeds of that fight, when the So the cocktail party Matt canceled before that rose ceremony. And that's when Serena C first says, like, this is Katie's fault because there's no rose ceremony and there would have been a rose ceremony if no one brought up the bullying, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, maybe that's a fair point, but it also, like, there is no way on earth anyone who has watched this show and has just seen what happened to all the other, like, mean girls would ever think it's a good idea for this to be your look, right? And right. Not just that throwaway comment, but then the fight with Katie afterwards. Like, how could you, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, girl, why would you do that? That doesn't track, especially because she's on the show. She knows the producers are manipulating a lot of this. And even if Katie hadn't brought up to Matt that there was, you know, people being very mean to the new girls in the house, there would have been something else for him to cancel a rose ceremony or not spend time with you. It's not a one-to-one thing for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I think it seemed to me when I was watching it that it was basically like, well, MJ just got shown the door. Time to have a new villain edit in the house. So I guess it's now Serena C.
Mm-hmm. There's no reason why she, like, well, there was just, like, no, what did they give her for that? You know, they promised her, what, like, a couple $1,000s? That's typically the, like, going rate, right? $4,000.
We know this for a fact.
Yeah, we know this for a fact. So, okay. Like, that's the only way it could have seemed, it seems at all possible. No one does that. That's not real life. No one just goes, you were the one for no reason. And I guess it's a good time to bring up again, reality show union, everybody. Let's do this.
Well, who's your boy? You met him in person. You think he's hot?
I do not.
Leo.
I do not. I mean, I know he's an attractive man, but he's not my, like, type exactly. But every woman that night commented. Got a mic was like,
I was just gonna say, didn't Leo say that his fight during Paradise was manufactured? Didn't he tell you that in person?
I cannot comment.
I feel like that's what he said.
Yeah. But that's everybody. That's like, I've heard the story more than a few times, and it all, there is no point in singling people out. The real point here is unionized propaganda poster. That's me.
So, okay, let's walk this through a little bit. So There's a reality show union. They're all in a union. Now what? How does that change Serena C's situation?
Bargaining power. I want time. You can't just bait me and, like, cut me this way. Or maybe something like, you know, you can't just close 10 people up with no communication to the outside world. And you're monitoring our phones to see if someone we know has died. Like, we've heard that story before too, right? Oh, I just found out that my grandpa died yesterday and I should have been there. And I don't know how to, like, get home now because I haven't had access to my phone in 2 weeks. Like,
so you want every Bachelor contestant to in some way be a producer themselves?
No, I have no actual path or real thoughts about it. I'm just saying that the if this is real vitriol coming from Serena, then it's misplaced completely. All right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Can you hear the jackhammer? Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Not really.
No?
You keep asking.
I live in this major construction zone.
I walked by your house the other day.
Yeah, they're building two buildings now at the same time, two towers. And one of them requires them to dig up the sewer line, I assume, because they're digging up the middle of the street with a jackhammer all day.
Mm-hmm. I think the union would work better with something like...
Back to the union.
Yeah, because I have no interest. I mean, I can't really...
You don't care about bad sound quality on our podcast.
I have thoughts about... I have anger issues with the upzoning happening.
Right. Gentrification.
Well, yeah, and other things, but when wrestlers try to make a union, I think that is a that would be a great stepping stone towards a reality show union, because they could really, they have a hand in everything. They're athletes, they're acting, and it's a little bit of a reality show. So I think that would be the better stepping
stone. So you want The Bachelor to be acting and a little bit of a reality show?
It is.
Nothing would change.
Right. But I'm saying that a wrestler's union, a WWE union, would work towards that same end goal. Don't you?
I know nothing about the WWE. Everything I know, I learned from you and Mark.
Oh, there's nothing to know except that you know who Vince McMahon is, and he would hate a union. Perfect reason to do it.
Well, see, I don't know. I can't tell the difference between Vince McMahon, the character, and Vince McMahon, the real person.
Exactly. That's why they're in the reality show world. There is no real difference. He plays a part, but he's also incorporates his real life into it. And so do all the wrestlers. If they get married, if they have a kid, they'll mention it as part of their persona. So same thing here, right? This is their real life. Why would this woman choose to make a fake fight? Oh, because it's part of their character on the show. Speaking of people that should not have brought their characters on, MJ, we can finally finish
all right,
that
let's talk
fight.
About MJ.
Oh boy. Yeah. Meredith.
Yeah, Meredith. I'm sure she came on rebranding herself, so let's forever gonna call her Meredith, so because I know she does not like it.
MJ.
No, Meredith.
Oh, okay.
What do you think the J stands for?
Meredith Jane.
Yeah. June, okay. Jane.
Joan. I'm trying to think of other J names. Juniper. Jessica. No,
Jennifer. Jennifer and Jessica. Make
oh.
Wait, if we were going with first initial, middle initial, what would be our names? I'd be CA.
That they don't work as well. She's doing this. Okay, so
wait
a minute.
What would you be?
I don't have a middle name.
Oh,
I don't have a middle name either.
You don't have a middle name.
That's what
you would just be C. Here. What's up, C?
Yeah.
See, but this is the problem is that as someone who grew up with a weird / ethnic name, if you didn't survive K through 12 with that name, you cannot just brand yourself to be different. She was definitely not MJ until recently. Don't you think?
I don't know.
No. I would buy that MJ is her like tough persona, right? Her big hoops, big hair persona is MJ.
That's what I was saying last week, that I'm really frustrated. And she kept it going this week, playing Little Miss Urban Girl. And that's why I love that Jasenia gave her white girl name back, because I think she was like a few hours away from coming out with like a do-rag, and she said all kinds of things that were so problematic. Well, you heard her. She said the big hoops, big energies. She said, oh, I had a weak bitch moment. We back. Like, oh my God, it was. It was
the weak bitch moment, we back thing was so cringy. And she did also say at one point in her meltdown moment that she was like, I'm coming back. I got to fluff my hair.
Yeah. So I had to go deep into the trenches here. But she is now on offense is the best defense mode. She's monitoring her comments. She's limiting comments on Instagram. She is also doubling down. And I think if you have to limit comments, so you have 20 comments and Yesenia has over 200, and she got herself, and MJ Meredith got herself blue checked. I think she rushed to do that.
Cool. Good for her.
Yeah,
interesting.
So this is all kind of like a tactic to come out on top without having to address it at all.
This is wild to me that she's doubling down, because at this point she would have seen the episodes, right?
Is it wild? Do you know white woman in there.
I do know people who are so. She feels very delusional about who she is, if that makes sense. That she's like, the number of times she said, "I preach peace and like harmony." I was like, this could be a drinking game right now between I preach peace and harmony and the you called my character into question as her favorite lines. And I was just like, you've now seen the show. You know what aired. You know that you have never preached peace and harmony in what has been shown on this show. So how on earth do you feel like, you know, like the reaction that she's getting, she clearly knows that people hate her. Right, that they hate the way she's on this show, they hate the way she is acting, and so the idea that she would just be like, no, I'm defending it, Jasenia is a mean bitch who smeared my name, you know, it's like, that's not, the facts do not support this reading.
Yep, doubling down, and it's, I think in hindsight, it's a smart play. But it's very frustrating for those of us who are more passionate about how wrong she is. I can tell you that it has worked before. There are plenty of people who get the, you know, do over, but then they become the bachelor, like another bachelor fixture that you forget why they became one in the first place. Another one of those, you know, throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks, like strategies. She's just gonna be fake. She's just dead set on being famous. What reason does she have to move here? She moved here too in her Instagram.
From Ohio,
from Pennsylvania. There was no reason for her to ever be here. Is there?
In LA,
they're not shooting here anymore, right? You don't just stay. It's not college. Go home.
Yeah, that definitely says that she is putting all her chips on becoming famous.
Yeah.
Hey, all good, bad publicity is good publicity.
No. This is what we're talking about when we say someone is problematic, and they're never going to address this. This is the racial things that I think a lot of people are frustrated with, and this is not, she's a great example of it. She used her time on a show of the first black bachelor to catapult her for herself, and she picked fights and she appropriated, and it's just like ding 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 all the boxes all the way down, and she sees no problem with it. So she is the reason, like, for the season of our, like, our discontent. Like, I'm shocked that there's not more. Everyone's going to call her out on, like, a lower level. Like, you were wrong. But it's more than you were wrong. It's like, this is the reason. You are emblematic of why everyone's fighting against so much. Like, this is the new racial like atmosphere, that these are the kinds of people that are playing, you know, the wolves, and they're playing the sheep, but they're also the wolves. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Ben Jay's a big problem.
No, I get what you're saying, and it reminds me of celebrities like, say, Ariana Grande, right? Mm-hmm. Who for the longest time people thought was not a white woman, because of how she presents and how she very specifically packaged herself and the way she talks and things like that. And it's like, no, she's a white woman who tans a lot.
Yeah, but she was a white kid because she was famous as a kid. She's kind of had the Kylie Jenner thing where you saw her transformation. But if you see her now, you wouldn't assume that.
Yeah. Well, Kylie Jenner is a great one, too, because weren't there pictures of her without her makeup on that came out during the pandemic? And people were like, oh, she looks like a white middle school girl.
right. But I'm saying that they're like, unlike, you know, someone like Rachel Dozier, who we've never known who she was before. Those two now women, Kylie Jenner and Ariana Grande, we have like a clear visual timeline of them growing up and being clearly lighter skinned, clearly spoke differently before. So it's a little bit of a, like, that's a clear, like, we can point to that for sure.
Well, the point I was thinking of with Meredith is that she is doing that kind of move of, it's similar to the Ilaria Baldwin thing too, right? That, like, it's a white lady being like, I want to seem a little spicy and exotic. So now I'm doing this thing, you know, now I'm suddenly a different kind of person.
Yeah. And that's why I wonder with her name, like, I wonder if it's her just rebranding herself on TV. Anyone who knew her before, maybe an interview is going to come out. But my problem, like, I don't really want to focus on MJ. I'm saying that she's symptomatic, or she's emblematic, rather, of the bigger problem of appropriating. But I'm sure someone from her past is going to come out and be like, oh, she did not used to be like that. She did not used to be, like, what she was on TV was the new her, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's my, she's just playing a role. But
that's your prediction.
Highly problematic. Yeah, I mean, she could have been playing a role for the last 5 years. It's still a role. She did not grow up that way.
And you know this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can say, I guess I'm not sure, but you know what? I'm sure. I don't care.
Does it matter what her racial makeup is?
She did not grow up speaking like that.
Okay.
Or in any kind of, like, it matters that she is playing a part. Yeah. Okay. And does it matter whether it's a racial? I don't think she is. I mean, I think it's more of a, I think it's more of her perceived class difference.
Okay. So class, not race.
It's intersectional, but it's, in this case, in her mind, class.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's close the book on Meredith and move on to our next topic, which is... Don't everyone jump in at once.
I'm trying to think of what else I'm very interested in talking about.
Besides fashion.
Well, I did want to say something about Tyler Cameron on this episode.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about him.
And honestly, like, I know when his season was on, that's before I joined y'all. And I know that your thoughts on him were very different than my thoughts on him during the season. Because I liked him on Hannah Brown's season. Mm. But I felt very weird about his...
EZR is getting pissed off.
Just hate him.
So on this episode, right, he comes on to talk to Matt. And the way Matt pitches it in his to-camera thing is, you know, Tyler will be bringing in this expertise of having been on the show, which Matt had not been before this. So it's like, well, that makes sense. Sure. But the conversation that they actually show, which is kind of funny that it worked for him. And I was like, well, I guess it worked for him in that he's had like famous. A vibe famous. With Hannah and he's famous. But like, sure, he didn't. When they normally say it worked for you, they mean you like found love. You're with a person from the show, right? It's like he is not with a person from the show, but
no, but he is famous, so he is famous.
So that conversation that they show with them, like Tyler's playing pool and Matt comes in, is the most boring conversation I think has ever been on TV. And it made me be like, is this, first I was like, all right, this is supposed to be your best friend, like a person you could talk to about anything. Is this who you actually talk to each other? Because either y'all are the most boring men on the planet, or this is like the weirdest stilted conversation. But it was just like, it felt like the vibe to me was not like, hey, I'm talking to my best friend about all of these different people I'm dating and who I might like and what's going on. The vibe was like, I'm making small talk with my coworker, you know? Like, it was just, it didn't feel like they actually had a connection as friends at all. And it was very weird to me.
Now, you just said that was the most boring conversation on television. I have a couple thoughts on that.
Sure.
You know where I'm going, EZR? We haven't done this in a while, but when co-host Chris was on, we used to talk about David Lynch all the time.
You want to talk about David Lynch? No, I don't know what we're going.
I can okay. think of a few parts of Twin Peaks that are a lot more boring.
This conversation you want to talk between shit about David Lynch.
Yeah.
Well, at least in Twin Peaks it was like atmospherically boring, right? That like it looked good even if the conversation was boring. This is, you know, it's reality TV, so the lighting isn't even that great.
Right. Yeah, it was strange. It was definitely strange. Let's talk about Tyler specifically here. What don't you like about him, EZR? We've been through this, but give us the quick rundown.
Right. So let me rehash here. Yeah, it was basically that he was, again, it kind of comes back to the same thing. He was playing woke, right? And he, much like this season, created a bullying atmosphere towards a man that was, I mean, deserve is a weird word, but he was absolutely needed someone to come in and like and tell him he's not acting correctly. But did he need a whole house full of men and cameras to tell him that? I don't think so.
You're talking about Luke P.
Luke P. And I think Tyler was the head of that. I think he also tries to kind of straddle a line where he is super, like I said, like playing woke, but he's not. He also, you know, I think he's kind of the ultimate person who watches the show and actually learns and is behind the scenes puppeteering a lot of things, including getting Matt James on. And he's always going to be likable to like your average viewer, but I think there's a lot of cynicism or bad faith plays he makes behind the scenes.
Well, I don't like him because he used the word like like four times. I'm using the word like too, but four times in a sentence. He's like, yeah, like you gotta like I think he said like twice in a row at one point. I'm like, you're not very well spoken for this being your one shot. You think you would have rehearsed a little bit? Mm-hmm. But no,
that's why
we didn't get. Well,
we had a lot of issues
among other things.
Right. He's still friends with Jed Wyatt, which if he's so woke about women and all this stuff, he should know that that's not okay to do, right?
Yeah.
Well, have you all seen the, what's his face? Dylan from that same season is also friends with Jed Wyatt and had some posting thing last week where he was like, Jed was done dirty by the Bachelor producers. And mm-hmm. I'd love to know more, I guess, but it's hard to have any sympathy for Jed. You know, and people who specifically are still friends with Jed after everything that came out, especially when you're some other contestant on the show, right? Mm-hmm. The idea that if you actually had feelings for Hannah Brown and you wanted to end up with her, that you would still be friends with somebody who, like, had a secret girlfriend the whole time is, you know what I mean? It just seems very at odds with logic.
Right, but let's just say you want to be friends with a problematic person. Honestly, for me, I don't know why that's not okay. Sometimes, you know, people need friends. And if you want to change people, you can't just cancel them. I agree with that. But that's not the problem. My problem is that Tyler will totally call someone like that out if it's for his benefit. He was not going to call Jed out because it's not to his benefit. He doesn't have any reason to. But he will do that for tons of other men. Luke was just as bad. So we're, you know, it's just pick and choose. But don't pin it to a high ground. Right. You know, that's my problem with people like Tyler, is it's super disingenuous.
Right. Okay. So what did you think of Katie?
She was the perfect person for that date. And
that was actually a really good match. Yeah.
And now, I think Victoria would have been rumors, perfect right? for that date, too.
You know the rumors?
That she's going to be the Bachelorette? The
yeah. So Reality Steve mm-hmm. thinks that she's going to be the Bachelorette. Oh, so
Reality Steve prediction. So it yeah. probably is right? Is that
Who
what?
Knows? Yeah.
Okay. You don't
know. Well, yeah, I don't know. Very, it could be a nothing's misdirection. Confirmed. Yeah, it could be a misdirection. But, and, you know, they could swap her out. You know, maybe they find some dirt on her or something like that. But we're going to have to go through a whole season.
Finding dirt on someone does not seem to be a problem for the Bachelor producer.
That's true.
So I'm hard pressed to think of something in Katie's past that they could uncover that would be bad enough to not choose her when they let so many other people with truly shitty things in their past on.
Right. By the way, just going to say it, but sexual assault when you're doing things like massaging his nipples for comedic gain.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean, because that was the idea of the date, I think, was like a perfect Katie fit of, you know, pranking somebody because she does seem like she's fun to hang out with. But the things that they were having, like, yeah, the tweaking nipple thing in particular, it was like, there's so many funny things you could make the masseuse do that do not involve, like, touching what is generally a sexualized area of his body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it real, though? Was it, like, because...
Yeah, I'm sure he knew.
Yeah.
I think he knew. Yeah, especially when... That's why
it's a little bit of, like, yeah.
When they come into the room and Matt, like, oils up his hands and starts massaging Tyler. And Tyler somehow knows, just from the feel of Matt's hands, that it's a different person. It must be Matt. So, like, I feel like he knew, because if I was, like, I've gotten massages in my past. If the masseuse's hands, like, slightly seemed different, I don't think my automatic reaction would be, like, must be my best friend has walked in and was pranking me.
Yeah, well, the reason I was laughing earlier is because you were like, oh, yeah, Katie seems like a fun person to hang out with. We were just talking about how we don't know anyone on this show because they haven't given us...
Except for... No, what I was saying was that front runners, we normally know a lot about. I don't feel like I know a lot about Rachel and Michelle and...
But Bree. Rachel already gave her sob story.
Right, but I feel like they're not crying, or Abigail, about getting more time at this stage. Abigail, it's all out of order. Abigail is, exactly.
Yeah,
they're
Abigail
not
is.
Normally doing this. They're not normally like, I wish I haven't even seen him. Like, that's not how... This is all, like, out of order. I don't... And Katie, you know, who we knew wasn't going to advance too much, is cut so in such a strange way. Like, that's a week 4 cut.
Mm-hmm.
Why now? Because they wanted her to, like, have more screen time so she could possibly be the Bachelorette. I think she's a strange choice for the Bachelorette. We've had a few kind of emotionally intelligent / smart women be the Bachelorette, like Rachel Lindsay comes to mind, and Caitlin Bristow too, kind of these very aware of how they're portrayed and how they can come across as, like, you know, just holistically smart. And I don't think men will be, like, as interested if she is the Bachelorette.
In Katie?
Right. But this is a question of, are they making the show again for women?
Right.
Because she's a woman favorite. I mean, I love
her. Yes. I think
you love her?
Women like Katie.
Yes.
Katie.
As a turn of phrase, I love her. Hold on.
She's the tattletale. We're not supposed to like the
what? Craig, you are in backwards world.
No, I'm not.
She is someone who
she's the snitch.
No,
I've never liked the snitch before. Katie?
What are you talking about?
I wouldn't classify her as a snitch.
She's the one that snitched to Matt that got this whole thing started.
Are we watching the same show? Are you listening to the same two people?
Different.
Craig,
doesn't matter.
You liked her all along.
I haven't.
Yes, it does.
I have liked her all along.
Oh, God. Well, the podcast does work best when we disagree. And I'm disagreeing right now.
Are you out of your mind, though? Are you having, like, a parallel podcast moment where you talk to people who don't like... first off, who doesn't like her?
There's a bizarre
Craig,
version
I have a question
of Bachelor
for
Bachelor.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you classify Jesenia as a snitch? Would you classify Brittany as a snitch?
Yes. Not like Brittany, but I would classify Jesenia as a snitch. Yes. I'm not saying that
is not applicable right now, though. Snitch is, I think you have it wrong. Just because someone's telling doesn't mean.
Oh, snitch just because someone tattles doesn't make them a snitch.
No, right, because that's not what that term actually is meant to apply to. It's not when something, it's just when something is, when they're telling on something that is like something that is, has a lot, not telling on like something that's bad that's happening, telling on something that could keep going in a good way. That's just taking it one-to-one for telling on someone.
Let's
not use that way.
Let's take tattling off the table and just talk about everything else we know or don't know about her. What do you like about her so much that you would use the word love to describe your feelings towards her?
Whoa. I feel like I've said this before. She's super smart. She stands up for herself. Huh?
She's...
Go ahead. Interrupt me.
I'm not interrupting you. Go ahead.
I'm just kidding. You're going to ask me how is she super smart?
That might have come to mind, yes.
She is concise and finds the root of arguments and can dissect them and unpack them in a holistic manner and completely takes apart people that are wrong.
You're laughing right now because you know this is all made up.
No, it's not.
You don't know any of this about her.
She's smart. She's like a literal Marvel hero. Not like a real, I don't know what the word hero really means, but in the terms of good and evil, she is the good. One-dimensional way. Huh?
Mm-hmm. So if they announce her as the Bachelorette, you're going to be excited for the next Bachelorette season.
I have reservations about her being a good bachelorette. Just because she's smart doesn't exactly mean that.
Okay.
I think Caitlin Bristow is a good version of that because men were falling over themselves for Caitlin Bristow. And she's also smart. But I think the problem with them casting such smart women for the show is that the only way is that those women will be like, the Bachelor franchise is really fucked up. We have to expose it. And so the only way to rope those women in is to kind of get them under the Bachelor umbrella. So with Rachel Lindsay, they gave them a state sanctioned podcast. With Caitlin Bristow, they
state
gave
run
her
media. Yeah.
They gave her the mirror ball trophy, right? I forget who else I like that I think is women wise. So it's a hard one because when you cast for woman's sake, it works for us, but does it work for all the men? Not always. Right. It's a little bit of it's a huge balancing act. And if they're too smart, then you have to give them a lot of
state-sponsored media
consolation prizes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
why would
they're
she be?
Too smart? Yeah. They don't want to be on this show, basically.
Right, right. Like Tyler Cameron, but I think he's doing it disingenuously. He doesn't want to be the Bachelor because he knows that every male Bachelor looks bad at some point.
Right.
Every single one. He doesn't want to go through that criticism, and honestly, he doesn't even want to find a partner. Right. He's not in it for that.
Well, he should have been smart enough not to check himself out in the mirror a couple times because that didn't look good on camera.
He cares. He's basically untouchable, but also very aware. It's mm-hmm. a little bit in the middle ground. Craig, why wouldn't
yes.
Katie be? Why don't you like Katie as a Bachelorette?
She's too much like the girl next door. She's just
yeah, that's my problem too, actually, but. You don't think she's smart?
I don't think she's not smart. But okay. I just think she's boring and...
Boring? She's not boring. I will tell you she's not boring.
She's boring, so she had to fabricate this whole thing for snitching.
Fabricate?
Wow, Craig.
I mean,
where's this venom against Katie coming from?
The fight with Serena was...
Right, she participated in that, which is not good on her.
But Serena made
I don't think she came across looking good in that fight.
But Serena made good points.
They both had points that I feel like were very valid, but I think that Katie almost came across worse because she lost her temper more dramatically, if that makes sense, because she was shouting louder and more specifically that it made, that it didn't matter as much at that point. It was like, well, you both have points that make sense. I don't really know why you're arguing about any of this, but the fact that it then started shouting is like, Katie, you should have been smart enough to not do that.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to get into the whole thing. I don't have enough ammunition to back up my
Victoria for Bachelorette. Well,
Victoria.
No,
I mean, I would watch that season.
Exactly.
The highest rated season ever, probably.
You know what I would love is for someone as smart as Katie to have had Hannah's exact bunch of men, because I think she would have torn that apart way more critically and way better. And I think hopefully they will do, if she is the Bachelorette, she will get this kind of awesome, insight into the house that we don't see, and she'll be able to tear it apart on her own. Hannah had her moments of like figuring it out, but she was too like guy happy. She was too enamored that she let the guys distract her, especially Tyler. I think he was the major, like, don't look over there, look over here, I'm dancing, you know, like, so it was a little
dance.
Yeah.
Well, like, I liked Hannah as a Bachelorette. Like, I enjoyed her season, but a lot of the choices she made, I was like, girl, why? You know what I mean? I was like, I liked watching her. But
I think she got like,
at the same time, I was just very confused by, I mean, even choosing Jed as the final one to begin with, I was like, that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Choosing like guys based off like their muscles, like that's how I felt about Hannah's season in retrospect. Like, oh, he's so muscly.
Okay. Look,
go ahead.
Changing the subject. Uh-huh. We did get an insider look into their sleeping arrangements during that same fight with the bed.
That was like a little hangout area.
It was like their sleeping quarters.
Yeah, it seemed
quarters.
Like a common room to me.
Like one of
like a
like
loungy area.
There was a bed. Wasn't there a bed made like with red sheets like in the middle of the room? I don't know.
Didn't even notice.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a fireplace in your bedroom. That's really dangerous.
Some of them aren't sleeping in the rooms. They're sleeping on the couch foldouts, I think.
I think just for like hangout time, and then they just fell asleep.
Yeah, I think that...
Literally bored so much. They're so bored that they're looking forward to a date.
Yeah, I think the scene that you're thinking of, Craig, right after the Katie-Serena fight, when Serena goes back down to that other group of women and then Katie follows a moment later, I think that's them just lounging and hanging out. I don't think that's where they actually sleep.
All right. Okay, let's talk about Piper, and then we'll do the fashion roundup.
Yes, I have Piper thoughts.
Hit us with your Piper thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I think the thing that stuck out with me is she seems very nice. She's super beautiful, and I think her fashion sense is the best of all the women on the show, which we can talk about more in the fashion roundup. But I was very confused by, so on her date, you know, in the evening portion for the dinner, she comes out with the mandatory sob story that they all must have for bonding purposes. And her sob story is that her family, she's talking about love languages, right? That her family does not do words of affirmation. They're more of an acts of service right. family.
That's and, what came to my mind too.
Yeah. And it's like, and she wants words of affirmation. So she has a hard time giving them, but she wants them. And I was like, this isn't a real sob story, Piper. You know, I was like, so your problem is that your family definitely loves you and they do things that demonstrate that love, but they don't always say love. And therefore, like, that's your big sad thing that's supposed to make Matt feel terrible for you.
Well, it worked.
Well, I think it worked because he already liked her and thought she was hot, right? I don't think it had anything to do with what she was saying. It's what he did with Rachel, too, right? Like, her sob story was that she has low confidence, basically. Right. And he clearly did not listen to a word she said. He was just like, I'm into this, you know?
Right.
So...
Right. Huh. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about Piper. I think she's fine. And she could end up winning, actually. She's... I think she has an inside track.
Well,
I think she's going to be in the top five for sure, but she said she's falling in love with him. He did not say it back. He said he was going to always be open and honest with his feelings, and then he gave her the rose. So far, the only woman he said he's falling in love with is Rachel.
Is Rachel, right.
Serena said it. The other Serena said it too.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, really?
He's like, that's great. Yeah, the response is very telling, I feel like, when somebody busts out the I'm falling in love with you, and they say something like, I'm so glad you're open with your feelings.
Yeah. Well, in the preview for next week, or who knows if it's going to be next week, but doesn't he's going to tell Kit that he has, what was it that he tells Kit? Like, I'm so open
to that he, that he likes having her around and blah, blah, blah. It's so weird to me. I don't understand. Like, is this the only thing I can surmise from the heavy pushing of Kit and how it seems like she's also probably going to make the top handful of people is that the producers are friends with her mom and they're like heavily pushing her because I'm like, Matt does not seem like he has chemistry with her at all. Yet the things he says are like, wow, have a great time with you. Like, let's make out in a really loud and messy way.
Yeah.
Ew. Ew, Kit. Ew, I don't want to make out with my best friend Nathan Fielder, I realized.
Who I still don't know. But
well, look him up and then
let me look him up right now.
Just... hair on him. And then we'll see how much of Craig's I wish I had had sex with this woman if I was 20.
Nathan Fielder, he has dark hair.
Put a blonde.
Craig, it's not about the hair.
Blonde.
Okay. Easier. Can you Photoshop?
He's Googling. Yeah. He's Googling.
He does kind of look like Kit. You're right.
Yeah. Everybody.
That's pretty funny.
I'll put it on our stories.
Huh. Yeah. You need to Photoshop like Kit's hair onto Nathan Fielder.
Oh, yeah. Do a side by side because like people post that kind of stuff all the time.
All right. I just didn't think it was like, it's not to be rude, but it's to be what? this is not real. She's not making it this far. And mostly to you, Craig, do you like Nathan Fielder like that? You want to have sex with Kit as a 20-year-old now? Kit though? Or is it all the accoutrements that come with
Whoa. It? You're asking a lot of questions at the same time.
Okay. Is it actually, I get that it's like a hot babe situation, but is it actually Kit or is it the surrounding aura that is Kit? Because if you really look at Kit, I would think your average guy would say no. Like I said last week about
would say no? No way. Your average 21-year-old guy.
Okay.
Would
like
not
I said,
say no to anything.
Like I said last week, if it's not. If it's like baseline, everyone is hot. If it's Bachelor in Paradise, are they excited for her to come down? That's what I'm trying to say.
I think she's attractive for that age. I'm not Nathan into that age, Fielder. But I think she's attractive. Yes, she looks like Nathan Fielder. It's scary. I haven't processed that enough to know how that makes me feel.
Okay, good. Okay, go ahead, guys.
All right.
This is the Fashion Roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Take it away, Caitlin.
I like how the theme song is that Craig loves fashion, but every week it's always like Caitlin talks about fashion.
Well, that's why we need to change the song.
And but that's why I sent Craig endless texts. Send me a thing. No response.
Well, yeah, we need to go back Craig to work Rainbow on his studio. Singing.
Yeah, we got to go back to the studio and work on his singing.
We got to go back to the studio where we recorded that.
Just send it to me. Yeah. We're all digital now. Or whatever.
I like being in the studio. I had the earphones on. I was like singing. I looked like I was in the...
I have a picture.
Listen to your heart.
Yeah. What okay. did you love?
So the first outfits I want to talk about are Jesenia and MJ's outfits during the two-on-one. So Jesenia is wearing a royal blue jumpsuit onesie kind of thing, one shoulder. Right. And it looks like there's like a little bit of a cutout around the midriff in some way.
It's out of a 90s hairband video.
And what MJ is wearing
MJ's out of a MJ's outfit.
Yeah, Jesenia's outfit is kind of a normal. It seems like a thing you would wear to a rose ceremony that a lot of women have.
I mean,
worn.
She's doing that thing where that one arm is really long, which came in fashion a couple of years ago. I never quite understood that.
The one shoulder thing. Yeah, and Claire Crawley loves that look. She wore that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
What MJ is wearing is like if she specifically said I'm going to dress to look like a villain, she could not have done a better job. So she's wearing, it's a black suit jacket that's also a dress kind of thing, double breasted with gold buttons, and then the shoes are the clear Perspex like Love Island heels, you know, the ones that were super popular on Love Island, and of course her big hair big hoops moment. And I think just the look of it really reinforce the like Jesenia is a nice girl who's just telling the truth, MJ is a problem vibe.
Sergeant Pepper's like Lonely Heart Club band.
No, she looks like she's like a Michael Jackson fan and just made sure like those that gold button thing was very like, oh, I want to have that name, so she like, it just seems like a Michael Jackson reference, but it also is like a villain from an 80s show. You know, the
it's
remember
a
when
very
Tori
villainous look.
Came on Saved by the Bell? There's a Tori. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah.
I can see what you're saying.
Supposedly.
I can also see it. So I appreciated that she dressed exactly how she was going to, like, have her personality and vibe be awesome. I wanted to point out during the bowling group date, so they had to change into bowling shirts when they divided up into teams, and I enjoyed seeing which one of the women kind of put their own spin on the, so like one team was a pink bowling shirt and the other was a blue one, and they both had like little black accents. A lot of the women just straight up wore the shirt over whatever pants or whatever else they were wearing, like no tuck in, nothing else. But Abigail French tucked her bowling shirt. So that's where she's tucked half of the front in. So it kind of gives you a little bit more shape. It's not a big shapeless box on your body. I thought that was very cute. And I think that it was somebody on the pink team, and I'm totally blanking on which one of them it was. I think it might've been Serena P tied the shirt like in a knot, so it would show her midriff a little. I thought it was a nice example of like how people are styling something when they all have to wear the same thing. Right. And Matt also wore a bowling shirt, and he wore what are like the tightest jeans with them, probably jeggings.
Do guys wear jeggings?
Oh, they absolutely do.
Do they? That's funny. Huh.
Yes. Matt had a lot of looks this episode.
I just had trouble paying attention to Matt. He's so dull now. Or at least
he is very... Matt is the least interesting part of the show, personality-wise, which is kind of problematic as the lead.
My ability to absorb what he's wearing. Because I don't write it down like you do.
Oh, I totally write it down. I clock outfits pretty frequently. But, of course, again, he wore a lot of turtlenecks. That's his look, his vibe. It's kind of to the point where when he doesn't wear a turtleneck, I notice it extra because he is so into covering up his neck area.
Right.
he did wear, I think the best of his outfits was at the very end, when they're preparing for that next rose ceremony that we don't get to see yet because it'll be next week, the one where Heather's crashing it. He's wearing a black velvet tuxedo and a bow tie.
Right, he is.
Easier, that's the look that you've said you like.
I have the same defense as Craig. It's been such a boring season that I can't even look anymore at what's happening. Yeah. Half the time I'm on my phone and I like space off into some, you know, into whatever's going on.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with live tweeting, like I do. It's just, like, I miss things and yeah.
Well, I don't even have that excuse. There was a cat lawyer on yesterday and I had to watch it and I was like, "Oh, cat lawyer."
Oh my god, I love cat lawyer
video. Yeah.
So good.
Right, it's so good, but that's how, I mean, any other season I would have paused. I did not pause. I went into all the comments. I'm so bored this season.
Okay, well, hey, look, speaking of Kit, did you notice after the bowling date they were all sitting around the couch in their bowling outfits, kind of the blue team, because they were all bummed that they don't get any time with Matt. And Kit had put a white fluffy robe on over her bowling outfit and was drinking tea.
I did not notice that, but you know what that reminds me of? Because something I did extremely clock is when the women were waiting for the date cards right after the rose ceremony at the beginning of the episode, that every single woman in that scene is wearing white hotel slippers.
Yeah. And see, and that's how they knew they were coming back, because anyone would get out of a gross bowling shirt immediately.
Yeah. Yeah,
right? They're like, stay in your stupid bowling shirt. Nope. It wouldn't happen.
Well, the slippers made me laugh too, because when Serena C leaves the argument with Katie and they show her like walking down a hallway to get back to where the other women are, she's wearing her little hotel slippies, and so the way she's walking is to sort of like keep these very thin hotel slippers on her feet. And it just like cracked me up. The gate was like, oh, I gotta walk a certain way so that my cheap little slippers don't fall off.
Oh my god. Okay, one other thing we got to talk about is Heather's makeup.
Oh yeah. And her, like, tan belly.
Yeah, like it was multiple shades darker than her face. I noticed that, too.
Yeah. The quarantine diary stuff they did with Heather is some of the most embarrassing footage I've seen on TV.
Well, hold on. There's some David Lynch movies that we have to look up there.
Do you remember when they started doing these kind of... definitely Colton did it. Like, I'm waking up in my hotel room.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say because I am a blank slate of a human.
I hated those. It was like Colton in his bed being like, looking forward to another great day of getting to know these women and falling in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was the same vibe with Heather. But yeah, this the stuff that she was doing for the camera was, I was getting so much secondhand embarrassment of like her, you know, balancing the pizza box on her head and trying to dance, her shouting Matt out of the window multiple times. It was just, ooh.
Yeah.
Craig, well, you know what I thought you were going to bring up? Is that Heather wore in one of those quarantine diaries. I think it's the pizza box scene, I think. She was wearing a tie-dyed matching sweatshirt and sweat bottom thing. Like the thing like you Victoria. Hated on Victoria. Yeah.
No, I really don't like Heather's style. She wears so much makeup that I have no idea what she really looks like. And then her style is kind of strange too. I wonder how long she's going to last. Like, do you think she'll make it through the rose ceremony next week? This coming week?
Hard to say. If she does make it through the rose ceremony, she's not getting another one after that.
The women were like, if she gets a rose, I'm going to lose so much respect for Matt.
Yeah, Serena P said she would be rageful if Heather got a rose, which I really liked. That was a very good turn of phrase. Yeah, I don't know with her. It's a very weird storyline to have Heather come in. I don't like it. And I don't want it to be happening, but there we are.
Yeah. Okay, well,
Oh, I have one more outfit because it's my favorite outfit of the episode. It's what Piper wears to dinner when she talks about her love languages.
Mm.
It's a little black, like mini dress, kind of tight dress. And the sleeves are puffed sleeves. Easier. Puffed sleeves.
Puffed sleeves.
Puffed sleeves that are sheer black. And it's got kind of like a mock turtleneck neckline on the dress. And she's wearing red heels with it. I loved that dress. I thought it was super cute.
Yeah. Whoa. I was probably feeding my cats on Neko Atsume at that point. I don't remember any of this.
I'll try to find a picture to text to you. But yeah, it was a very nice puff sleeve outfit.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we did another podcast, y'all.
Let's get it over with.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait till this is over.
I think it's going to get better. Look, last week's episode was good. There's nothing keeping the coming episodes from being good. It could end really good, really well.
I think it's this?
Right now to me.
Why are you so optimistic?
It's episode to episode. It's not blanket bad for me. It's mostly bad, but there's been some moments
there's
of
some
good.
Moments that are enjoyable TV. I think you're saying there's nothing that prevents the next episodes from being good. I would argue that there's a lot that prevents him from being good. The number one thing is Matt is the lead and he is very boring so far. Yeah. And number two is the producers are going absolutely wild in ways that are not enjoyable. Okay. So
yeah, that's well put.
But I think I have a very different view of what makes a Bachelor good or bad or a season good or bad than the rest of Bachelor Nation. Drama and like interesting characters make it good to me, and I don't want to even say not necessarily love, never love. It's not it's not part of the equation for me. I don't care about the love story. I mean, sometimes it's good, but it's rarely like I don't have like a rooting for this couple outlook.
Right.
There's nothing here for me in terms of any of that.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well,
there's nothing here for me.
I must leave this world. So it is like it can't get better. I could the stage is set. There is nothing that it can get better. It's just we just have to ride it out. I think that's my philosophy.
Easier. Do you think that Matt is a more boring bachelor than Peter Pilot?
Honestly, I don't care about the boringness of the bachelor. A boring bachelor or a boring lead can be put in the middle of an interesting season. And I think I like the way he approaches problems. So I don't really think it matters that he's boring. Like, to me, he's not that boring. He's interesting enough. But I don't think it's relevant. Like, to me, it's not relevant that he is portrayed as boring. But it's not good because it's not authentic and real, and that's my issue with
That's a good point, because I feel like comparing to Peter, one of the things that really annoyed me about Peter is I did think he was a little bit of a boring person, but the way that he handled situations is so much worse than how Matt handles them, because Peter would just sort of waffle back and forth for like four episodes in a row. You're like, who do I believe? What? Let me talk to every woman again about this. You know?
I think that's a legitimate problem solving strategy. Like that's a better problem solving strategy than Hannah had, for example. So I like the way Pilot Pete kind of like, you know, put all his feelings out on the table, like with the whole Hannah situation. That to me was like, that's the last time I was really pulled into the show was when Hannah came back and sat on Pilot Peter's lap. And then he was like, what do I do? Like, I thought that was real interesting, real period. Also really interesting. Also, it's what a situation anyone can be put into, and it's exciting. So I don't have a problem with Pilot Pete's season at all. Especially I like the way it ended, because you do end up with a person you cut a long time ago sometimes. I like
not anymore, but
well,
weren't they just seen it?
Oh my god,
together?
Are you serious?
Yeah, they were seen at a Super Bowl party.
Boy,
spreader event.
These people,
Kelly and Peter, for our clarity out there.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow. Yeah, no, I did love the moment with Hannah Brown on Pilot Pete season. I really loved that because it was like it felt super real, that it did seem very much like they liked each other. He still had feelings for her and he was very confused by seeing her and then having these interactions where it's like, I kind of want to be with my ex again, you know, but I'm in the middle of this show where I'm supposed to be dating other people.
Yeah, I think that's a actual feeling, actual leads feel sometimes, except the ex isn't someone you'd know from The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. To me, that was like, whoa, rad. Do it. Kiss her. Even
oh,
in retrospect.
Yes. I was like, right, bring her on the show. Put her in the house.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Podcast over.
Okay. Bye.
Follow us on social media. Hey, hold on.
You just said podcast over. Like, you're shutting your computer.
You're the one that wants me to say the social media stuff at the end.
Okay, go ahead.
So let me say it. Follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Give us a review on the Apple podcast app, even though we know you won't because no one ever does. Yeah. I mean, if you're on your phone, it's right there. You just go to the Bachelor Masters and you scroll to the bottom and then you can leave a review right there.
We can say that our super fan Jocelyn did leave a review several months ago. So thanks again to Jocelyn.
Yes. Be like Jocelyn. Okay, yeah. I try. All right. See you later.
Bye. WWJD, what would Jocelyn do?
Thank you.